Yes, we see. So, hey there, folks. Welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer, and my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. How are you doing today?
Pretty good for a Thursday.
Oh, this is Thursday? I got a radio show to do. Oh, I just love that German accent of yours. Der Wiener Schnitzel. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. You can find out more about us, Susan and Mark, at our website at americascanineacademy.net. And we welcome questions and comments. Email us. You can email us. I think you can email us at pettalk@live.com. Susan?
Well, if you remember last week, we talked briefly about dogs being descendants of wolves. They're in the same family of species. The Canis lupus refers to the wolf, and Canis lupus familiaris refers to the domesticated dog. And coming up in today's show, we're going to hear more about wolves from Dr. Kathy Alanovi, veterinarian, pet lover, and nationally celebrated author. But first, we've got a local guy on the show today, Travis Watson. He is founder of Be Positive right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And this very young entrepreneur, I won't reveal your age, Travis. This very young entrepreneur and dog lover has launched a buy one, give one program for dogs. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Thanks, Susan and Mark. I'm glad to be here.
Well, awesome. Welcome, Travis. Travis, tell us, what is Be Positive? I mean, that sounds like a blood type. Let me say that again.
Be Positive.
And how did it start?
Well, just to clear things up, it's spelled PAWSITIVE, so like a dog paw, so Be Positive. And it started with me finding a little stray dog in a dog park over at Arlington, Texas. And I took her in to the shelter because I thought she might be lost and no one claimed her. And that was really the first experience I had with an animal shelter. And it really opened my eyes up to see, you know, how much these guys needed some help. You know, they're kind of overwhelmed with animals of all kinds, but especially dogs. You know, they have so many dogs that they can't really give all the attention that they need, and they're really just trying their best to get them into new homes, but they rely pretty heavily on donations. And so going through that whole process, which, by the way, I did adopt Lola, and she helps. She's a chief treat officer here at Be Positive, and, you know, the inspiration behind everything. But going back to about a year and a half ago, so, you know, I adopted her, and I just, after going through all that, I really wanted to do something to help out. And so I decided to create a company that would allow people, customers, dog lovers, to be able to purchase something that also gives back. So make it really easy for people to be involved with something that would help out animal shelters, especially there's a lot of people out there with rescue dogs that want to continue to give back to that community. And so I created a dog treat company with the buy one, give one business model. So every box of dog treats we ship out to a customer, that purchase provides a box that we send to an animal shelter or rescue group.
So who do you donate these treats to? Which shelters?
Any and everyone. We just launched in June, so we're pretty new. And so I was initially, I gave a few boxes to some local shelters here in Dallas, Operation Kindness. And there's a shelter down in Austin that was helpful to me called Austin Pets Alive. But recently, since we started taking orders and customers started signing up, we have a special section on the checkout page where you can suggest a shelter for us to give back to. So If you have a shelter that you got your dog from or a shelter in your local area that you want to support, you can input that in when you're checking out, and we will add that to our list, and those donation boxes will go to that shelter. So you can really, you know, it's not just sign up and we'll tell you we're sending you a box of treats and we're going to send one else, send another one to a shelter. You'll actually be able to designate your local shelter or any shelter you're affiliated with or want to give back to, so that we can directly give it to them.
So does it have to be a shelter, or can it be like a rescue group?
It can be a rescue group. Yeah. This whole thing was built to try to kind of help make an impact for dogs in need. And so a lot of people, it's great that, you know, a lot of rescue groups or shelters, you know, are 501c, and they'll send me their nonprofit certificate and I'm thankful for that. But really, I mean, if there's any organization that would benefit from treat donations, we're there to do it. So any type of shelter, rescue, anything that there's some dogs in need and they could benefit from treats, we would be happy to supply them.
Well, we have awesome. 10 dogs here. We could benefit from a few.
Well, it sounds like you guys might sign up for a few boxes.
Now, when I was looking on your website to read about some of the treats, and I really liked what I saw, because Mark and I are huge on nutrition and nutrition as far as how it affects a dog's behavior, since usually that is what we're doing, is fixing the dog's behavior. So tell us more, tell everybody about the treats.
Right, so the treats are they're USDA organic certified, they're wheat free. And we have, I think, 8 different flavors, and they're really cool flavors. Dogs love them. We've had a pizza party flavor, a power berry flavor, which has some, all the ingredients are organic, and like organic blueberries, sunflower carrots, apples, like really, really healthy stuff. Stuff that you would find in your kitchen, you know, nothing you have to Google to figure out what is this ingredient. And banana split, we've had pumpkin pie flavor. So the dogs love, I mean, my dog and every dog I've come across just goes nuts over these treats. So that was really important whenever I was putting together this business, was to find some really good quality
wholesome
ingredients,
wholesome
for
food,
treats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right.
And none of them have corn, wheat, and soy, so that's awesome. Now,
right,
tell everybody,
yep,
quickly before we go to break, where can people buy these? What is your website?
The website is BePositive, and that's BePawsitive. So it's a little play on words. And everything, they're only sold through the website for now, so. And it's a subscription-based product right now. Where in the next couple months, I'm probably going to have each individual flavor up for sale. But right now, you sign up, and we send you a new flavor treat box in the mail each month. So,
awesome.
It'll, you know,
awesome.
You don't have to. You can just wait and get it in the mail. So, yep.
Thank you so much for being on today, Travis, and hopefully we can get you some more treats sold.
Yeah,
but we're going to head to break, and when we're back, we'll have Dr. Kathy.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
And we're, yes, he's Mark. And we're going to bring in our next guest, Dr. Kathy Alanovi. She's nationally recognized for her integrative approach to animal health. Now, listen to these credentials here. She graduated from Purdue University with a doctorate in veterinary medicine and a Master of Science in epidemiology. But that wasn't enough. She's also certified in veterinary food therapy, veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal therapy, and aromatherapy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, welcome, Dr. Kathy. This is Mark. I understand talking to us live from Disney World.
I am. I'm in Frontierland right now. I haven't seen any four-legged animals yet, though.
Well, tell Mickey I said hello, because we grew up together.
Oh, well, excellent. I'm looking for Pluto. Haven't seen him yet.
All right. Well, what can you tell us about, I mean, this is kind of broad, but tell us about the wolf, the Canis lupus.
Well, that's a great question. I had an opportunity last weekend in Battleground, Indiana. There's a wolf park where they have a couple of different herds. And so I actually had the opportunity to go in and meet a couple of wolves. In the enclosure I was in, there were three, one female, two males. They were brothers and sister. And wow, what a great opportunity. Similar to our dogs, but at the same time, while you want to give a wolf a great big hug and run your hands through their neck, just like you would with a German shepherd, not such a good idea with wolves. That's dominant behavior. That's not cool.
So you understand dominance.
Yeah. All so, right. You know, we're used to, well, okay. So in theory, we as humans should be leaders of our pack, but how many people do you know what Chihuahua is, but the Chihuahua actually rules the pack?
Right.
So, we're supposed to be in charge, but if we don't take charge, they'll set it up how they want it to be.
And that's true, Doctor, because, I mean, we teach the leadership role in the species, the Canis lupus familiaris, because what has happened is the dog has come in and taken over. And people just don't recognize it as a dominant behavior or dominant behaviors, and they just think it's funny until somebody gets hurt.
Right. Someone loses a finger or, yeah, absolutely. And then how much harder is it to try to reestablish the proper dominance order, where if you've just done it from the beginning, you can do it with love. Doesn't have to be mean. It's just, no, you're a puppy, I'm a person, and this is how it should be.
Right, and people are confused out there about it because everybody says, yeah, well, you're not the leader. You've got to be the leader. And, well, nobody's out there telling you how to be, except us.
Well, good. More people need to know. We need to send them all your way. They need to know.
Absolutely. Make sure you get our website.
So Dr. Kathy, the wolves that you came across, you said it's very different from the domesticated dog. Did you find them to be fearful?
No, they were really well socialized. So it's part of the education that they do at the wolf park is to socialize them well. And because the wolves are actually born at their facility now, they've been socialized to humans all along. but they still approach a new situation, you know, as a wolf would, rather than, you know, as a bulldog. A bulldog comes right up and sticks his big old face in it, where a wolf says, I need to sit back, check out the situation, and determine how I'm going to do this. And they'll still come up and be friendly, but you still don't reach around. You don't do two hands around the body. You have to be careful of the position that you're in. And you also, you know, they'll jump up and say hi. And then there was one example where a guy had a baseball hat on that one of the wolves just really had to have. And he kept jumping up and trying to be the dominant wolf. But the volunteer at the park was doing a really nice job at handling it and just deflecting the wolf to the side, deflecting him and just every time encouraging that, no, I am the human. You are still the wolf. And no, you can't have my hat. And nobody got hurt, and that was really exciting.
So you see jumping as a dominant behavior. What other behaviors do you see as being dominant?
Staring in the eye. And certainly I've done that in my own pack at home once it was established that I was top dog. But if I have a client come into the office with one of their dogs and the dog is having some behavior issues, rather than move right to a dominance fight, you know, we start slowly with some things that just, you know, I don't let them get their heads above my level. And if they stare, they start the stare, I'll finish it. And if I start a stare, I know I need to finish it again. So it's just being aware of what's going on.
Well, we
and
believe
helping
in
the owner know.
You're right. That's the hard part.
Right, but yeah, because they aren't necessarily aware.
They don't have a clue, to be honest. But we see staring at a dog as just a challenge. It's not going to accomplish anything. But what we actually do is we correct the dog's behavior at that moment, and then we actually look away or walk away because we've had our say. The kid's getting on the bus, and that's all there is to it.
I like it.
So you might have to check out our website and take a look at our second book we've got coming out.
Yeah, she has all these certifications. I think she needs to be a certified canine behavior specialist.
Absolutely.
I'll add it to my list.
Dr. Kathy, what are you doing in Disney World?
Today is my daughter's 10th birthday, so we're having a good time. I can't actually do the rides myself much as I would love to, and Splash Mountain looks like a blast. I'll see them wet at the other end, and so I get to do fun things like talk to you guys, do people watch, and it's a good time.
Yeah, those teacups make me sick.
I think the ride sounds like a whole lot of fun, and I want to keep it there. I like my lunch and my tummy where it belongs.
Well, we're about to head to break in a minute. If you don't mind, I'd love for you to stay on through break because I wanted to get into another subject when we come back. And hopefully you can give us some suggestions on this. And just to give you a clue what I'm wondering about, Mark and I were having a conversation last night about over vaccinations and that's coming into play a lot with the cancers and stuff. So we wanted to find out about possibly rather than vaccinating all the time, is it better to just pull a titer? So that's what we wanted to talk about in the next segment. And hopefully you can lead us in the right direction on that. We've got 10 dogs here. And so we're always wondering, it's a 6-month checkup, 1 month checkup. I understand all that, but do we really need to be doing all of these vaccinations? Are we harming our dog in the end? Or should we be doing these? So we're going to head to break real quick. And when we come back, hopefully you can give us some info on that.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear conscience pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Okay, folks, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark, and we're talking to veterinarian Dr. Kathy Alanova. And before we went to break, we told Dr. Kathy that we have been wondering whether it's more important to vaccinate every year or whether you should be doing just a titer test to see if we need to vaccinate. Mark was a breeder for several years of Bernese Mountain Dogs, and they're not long livers anyway. They don't live a very long life because so many of them are prone to cancer, and they're large dogs anyway. And so what Mark used to do is just do the titer testing. But now I've got some dogs here that are ready for their, I think, 6-month checkup, and they need some boosters. And so I'm just curious, Dr. Kathy, tell us what would you do?
Okay, you do realize we could talk about an hour on this. two groups of vaccines that are the big core. They're called core vaccines, so the ones that quote unquote we have to have. Rabies vaccine, which is legally mandated, and it depends on where you live, what state. Most states these days, dogs get their first rabies somewhere between 3 and 6 months old. That rabies is legally good for 1 year, and then you're allowed to booster with 3-year rabies. How much rabies is around? It depends on where you live in the country. East Coast, whole bunch, raccoons. Okay. Then the other batch of vaccines, it's for distemper, parvovirus, and some other viruses that affect the liver. Those are done differently by everyone. Basically, it's as a puppy, it's boosted about every 4 weeks. And how to do it, even there's controversy. If you start at 6 weeks of age, the vaccine may actually be interfering with the good antibodies that came in the mama's milk and the colostrum.
Correct.
So, you know, and so it's, wow. So what do you do? If you're going in at 6 months, your dog should already have had their last distemper parvo combination vaccine. Your goal with that one is to get it at about 17 to 18 weeks old. Reason being that that's when all the mama's antibodies have disappeared. 18 weeks, no more from mommy. We need to get a good booster in there and kick in the immune system. And that tends to be when dogs get the rabies with the last distemper parvo. So at 6 months, I wonder what we're boostering, because we just got our set of shots and we should be done. Now, the studies that are out there talk about longevity of immunity. I was vaccinated in vet school, 1997, so I'm pushing, 15, 16 years? For a while, every year, I'd have my antibody levels checked with the titers. I have titers. I quit going every year because what does it do? It simply costs money, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have immunity, you have immunity. What's going to make it go away? I don't know. It's a really
more
good
money.
Question. Anything that would use it up. So if your dog has an autoimmune disease, then yes, the immune system might have the immunity used up. The studies are there that show the same thing with distemper and parvo. Those are the two diseases that really are the ones that really kill all of our puppies, distemper and parvo. So the studies show the immunity lasts 6 to 8 years. Why are we boosting it every 1 year or 3 years? And if you check titers and you have titers this year, then there's starting to be some discussion in the holistic community. Do we really need to check titers every year? Because if you already checked them and you have them, why would it change next year? So there's kind of peace of mind. Certainly from a veterinary perspective, I make good money on vaccines and I make really good money on titers because titers are really expensive. But the goal is for good health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're raising babies, you want the mamas to have good immunity to pass to the puppies so that the puppies have good protection. And so, you know, a nice set of shots as a puppy, really, then we've got immunity for life. Mama's passing it on to the babies and all is well.
So
that's an hour and five. 5 minutes.
So what about dogs that we pull from the shelters? Because all the dogs here are rescue dogs. Now, we know that we don't know what they had as babies, and we go in and pull them. They're 1 year, 2 year, 3 years old, but we get them their shots, vaccinations, all updated at that point. And so would it be the same way where as long as we're keeping our rabies up, do we really need to keep boostering the distemper and parvo stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. Do you really need to? Because when they go into most rescues, we got to vaccinate them all. So they across the board vaccinate all dogs for rabies and parvo distemper. Well, shoot, 8 years immunity from that point forward. Now, let me do say that if I get vaccinated today or if I vaccinate a dog today, it will take a full 2 weeks for the body to respond to that and make immunity. So if a puppy goes into a shelter and it's never been vaccinated and it encounters parvovirus, even if you vaccinate the dog today, that dog won't be protected for a couple of weeks. So there's some funky timing things you have to worry about. But if we're talking adult dogs that were running around as strays, got picked up, if they were intact, then the chances of them having any kind of care is next to nothing. One set of shots and shoot, we've got immunity for the rest of our lives.
Awesome. So there's a lot of rescues that could be saving a lot of money on all these vaccinations and stuff.
They could.
And what you've seen is from the studies, you're hearing the same thing that we are, that over vaccinations could be leading to cancer.
Absolutely. What's cancer? It's inflammation gone wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the triggers? Anything that causes inflammation, right? Food. You said it. Mm-hmm. And vaccines. Those are the two biggest things that we do to our dogs, right? We feed them. And every year we go in for our annual checkup and they get vaccinated. Now, I think they need an annual checkup because 1 year for a dog is 7 years for us, but I don't think that the focus should be on vaccination. I think it should be on wellness. Let's see what's up with the pup. How's his heart? How's his teeth? You know, things that are going to make good quality longevity in life.
Behavior, how's,
right.
You know, how's his behavior?
Exactly, because isn't that the reason that most people go in? They're seeking help because there's been a behavior change. So what caused the behavior change? Is it health? Is it something going on with training? Yeah, you bet.
Mm-hmm. It's all of them. That's why we teach all of them.
Yes, that's wonderful. See, we need to work together more often.
We sure do. We're about to head to break, and so we want to thank you so much for being on, Dr. Kathy, and hopefully
you'll
enjoy the rest of your day at Disney World.
It looks like Thunder Mountain was a blast. I've got gritting teeth and stickers. So I think they had a good time.
Awesome.
Nice. Watch out. Watch out for that cotton candy, though. I've been there.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Kathy.
And we're going to head to break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thanks, guys.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy. As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
All right, folks, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. Next up, we have Dogs in the News.
When news breaks, we fix it. Susan?
All right. Well, guess what? It's October, and guess what October is?
Right before November?
It is, but okay, it's also Adopt a Dog Month and Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. Yay.
All right.
So, you know, adopting a dog is fun and heartwarming, obviously, and it changes your life for the better, but it's also a very serious decision that shouldn't be taken lightly. And the primary reason dogs are given up to animal shelters is because people adopt with these expectations and they get home and the expectations are not fulfilled. So before you even consider bringing a dog into your life, it's crucial to take some time, involve your family, and give some careful consideration to your expectations and the needs of the dog to make sure it's a good match. Now, the American Veterinary Medical Association, AVMA, reminds pet owners to carefully consider your family, home, and lifestyle before bringing a new canine companion into your home. And they recommend that you consider these questions before adopting a dog. Now, of course, Mark and I are going to throw our two cents in also. No, never. Never would you have an opinion.
No.
Okay, so the first question you should ask yourself is, what kind of activity level are you seeking from your new pet? Now, you have to really think about what you do, what your lifestyle is, and, of course, your roommates and family, if you have them, to determine what qualities your new best friend is going to need to possess. For example, if you're a runner and you want a running partner or jogging partner, then you need to consider a more active breed of dog that won't have trouble keeping up with you. An easygoing dog accustomed to lots of activity would be best suited for a household with children. So, Mark, do you have any advice on that?
No. I mean, you just got to, like you just said, if you have a whole bunch of kids in your house, you don't want to go find a healer or an Australian Shepherd. So you've got to consider that.
Yeah. So maybe a lab or a golden.
And what if you had four, if you had four or five children, you don't need a dog.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So, but what about, I've heard you have an opinion on this before. What about small dogs with children?
Well,
again, you always tell me small dogs hate children.
Well, I was going to say, I would never trust a child around my dog, but I would trust my dog around a child. So yeah. that's you know, because you don't know what children are going to do.
Yeah. And with a smaller dog, I mean, boy, they can get crunched and stepped on and all kinds of stuff. Now, here's the next question that you should ask yourself if you're going to adopt. What kind of special needs can dogs have? For instance, some dogs and breeds may be more susceptible to certain health problems that can be expensive to treat. We just mentioned that with Bernese Mountain Dogs, they're susceptible to cancer and they die young. So the AVMA recommends that you do your research, talk to a veterinarian about breed-related health concerns. And if you're considering a mixed breed dog, think about what traits may be part of that dog's DNA. For example, short-nosed dogs may be more likely to experience breathing problems, particularly in hot climates like Texas, or when they're excited or stressed. Other dogs that have a hair coat, they have one of those coats that requires constant grooming, or they have skin characteristics that place them at greater risk for dermatological problems. We see a lot of the skin issues with pit bulls and boxers. So you have those are something to think about before you are purchasing. But one thing I have always been told and I have found true is that when you buy a mixed breed dog, a mutt basically, they have less health problems than the purebreds. So personally, I think mutts are the best breed.
Right. Shelter dogs.
Yes, shelter dogs, mutts. Well, you know, there's purebreds in the shelter too, so we can't just limit it. But I think mutts have less health problems overall because the breeds, the purebreds, they've just been bred and bred and bred and bred and bred, and they just they develop these traits that it's like if you got this breed of dog, you're gonna have this. Pretty much look forward to it. So that's something to talk to your veterinarian about for sure. Now the next question that the AVMA recommends that you consider is, what are the costs of purchasing or adopting a dog? And let me tell you, I see all too often people who adopt a dog and then they take it back. I can't really afford it. So now, folks, you're choosing that dog for life. It's a life commitment. So know what you can afford before you go in. You need to create a budget that includes nutritious food, not Old Roy or some of that other crap that's out there, appropriate shelter, bedding, training, vet bills. So you got to think about all this stuff before you go take a dog out of the shelter. It might be a dog that has to be groomed every month. You might travel several times a year and you're going to have to board it or hire a pet sitter. So, you know, keep that stuff in mind before you go home with your dog. Another question they suggest that we ask is, where should you adopt the dog? And I don't like all of their suggestions here, but AVMA suggests talk with your local vet, your friends, your neighbors, and your colleagues, shelters in your community, which is my recommendation. Go to a shelter. Not only do they have a great selection of dogs, but they also have some purebreds available for adoption, a lot of purebreds in a shelter. And then the AVMA says to contact a purebred rescue group. There's tons of them everywhere, and reputable breeders. The next question they suggest that you consider is, how can you be sure a dog is healthy before you adopt it? And I thought this was really good because most people don't even know what to look for. So they say a healthy dog has eyes that are clear and bright. They have a clean coat. They're not overweight or underweight. And they don't show obvious signs of illness like a runny nose or diarrhea. But, of course, the best way to know for sure if a dog is healthy is to take him to a vet for a checkup. But I don't know that the shelter lets you do that. So you may not be able to go to that, right? But look for those things when you go to adopt a dog. My only other question or suggestion to folks before they go adopt is lower your expectations. People, we see people all the time bringing dogs back to the shelter for behavior issues. Well, this dog is not trained. This dog is not potty trained. Well, what did you expect, honestly? You've got to be the one to teach the dog. You have to invest in the dog's training. You have to teach the dog's boundaries and the dog, you have to teach them rules. You have to establish leadership. If you are not going to do those things and you're not committed to do those things, don't go to the shelter and get a dog.
There's nothing worse than a dog coming back.
Yeah,
There's nothing worse than a dog being returned. That's just ridiculous.
It's a life commitment, so know what you're walking into, or else don't pull the dog. I mean, God, it's frustrating when we get calls from people, I just adopted this dog 2 weeks ago, and I am going to take it back to the shelter. So, you know, folks, take some serious consideration before you go to the shelter, but we also encourage you to go to the shelter and adopt there. We're going to wrap it up for this week. Our time is out. We thank everybody for listening. And remember, you can email us at pettalk@live.com. Everybody have a great week.
The leader of the pack.